Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Welcome to your weekend again. We're going to kick it off a bit early by talking some Disney. There's no better way to get through a Friday, wrap up the work week, and get yourself in that fun state of mind for an awesome weekend. Ricky's going to join me. We're going to have some fun Disney talk here shortly. First, a quick word from our sponsors. And that includes our friends over at The Magic for Less Travel. The Magic for Less is a platinum earmarked agency, which means that Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best for the amount of trips they book each year to the Disney destinations and the feedback they get from their guests. That's most important. Let's think about this. Right now, as I'm recording, the heat index here in the Midwest, 107 degrees. What are we going to think about? Christmas time, the holidays down at Walt Disney World. Still time to put a present under the tree this year for your family and head down and maybe see the decorations, the parades, all the resort decorations. There's a lot of stuff going on. All the, you know, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. Tons going on. You can still book a great trip to Walt Disney World this holiday season. So drop by themagicforless.com. While you're there, browse around, check out all the specials, all the resort guides, all the planning information. And while you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. And you and I are going to work together to plan a great trip for the rest of 2019 or all throughout 2020. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. The easiest way possible to support the show is our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You're still going to get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show with each and every purchase. So again, please bookmark it and use it often. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1525 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rahman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. And again, welcome to the new school year for a lot of our teachers that are out there. I know we have tons of teachers in the audience. And of course, we have a lot of kids that listen. So good luck on your school year. I know that maybe you went back this past week or maybe you're headed back here in the next week or two, but just want to wish everybody a great 2019-2020 school year. Can't believe it. It'll end in 2020.
Oh my goodness.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that is.
All right. I'm just glad I'm not going back to school for like, it's my third time. I haven't had to go back to school like in the last 30, 40 years. It's crazy. So anyway, I'm enjoying my life as well outside of
That's
teaching.
Good.
So yeah. We are going to have fun today and talk about some of the things we're into at Walt Disney World and the Disney destinations right about now and just kind of throw out some fun topics. It's a Friday. Pam took the day off. We're just going to, you know, when the boss is away, the kids will play. So we're just going to have some fun talking Disney. That's what it's all about. So joining me today, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Happy Friday, Ricky.
Happy Friday. And everybody, you need to start following along with either me or the Be Our Guest podcast and all of our social sites, because I am going to be down and getting to preview Galaxy's Edge. I am one of the first people who get to get in for annual pass holder previews. So I'm super excited. I'll be there. My day is the 17th, so that's tomorrow. That's Saturday. So make sure you're following along, and I'll make sure and share lots of great fun about the new land so you can see it from my firsthand perspective of someone who's not a Star Wars fan.
Well, are you driving or flying? Driving down?
I'm driving. I leave tonight after I get off work. So, yeah.
So since we're just kind of just, you know, hanging out casually talking Disney today, just a little bit of a different show, you know, as you go into the pass holder preview tomorrow, Saturday.
Yes.
You've obviously seen everything that's happened out at Disneyland. We've been following all of our friends that are cast members, tons of cast member previews, lots of coverage on social, you know, so there's not really any surprises, but what are you looking forward to? Like, what is something you want to check off your list when you head down?
So I've really been trying to avoid as much as I can, which I know sounds so stupid, but like, you know, given my position, but like, I've been trying to avoid as much as I can about like really seeing too much about the land and too, even with Disneyland, I've avoided a lot of it because like, I knew that I was going to get to see the land. And I knew I was going to go, first I thought I was going to go for a Labor Day weekend, but then I got the pass holder preview. So I was like, I will go then. So, you know, I think the thing that I'm most looking forward to though, is really, I'm curious about seeing the land overall. I think that getting to really immerse myself into what the Imagineers have done as far as creating this land, you know, this gorgeously, beautifully built land that they've done. I'm really anxious to see kind of that aspect of it. I'm also anxious, of course, to try the food because, of course, you know, when you write a foodie blog, you're kind of, you know, someone who really is anxious to try the food. I've heard so many good things about that Ronto wrap, like, sausagey taco thing that I'm so excited about trying.
I've kind of heard that it's actually pork, so be careful.
Oh, okay. I'll watch out. Okay. At least I know what pork is, so we're good there. not pork. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to trying a lot of the foods. I don't have a reservation for Oga's because I don't drink, and I felt like that was kind of silly for me to take a reservation from somebody who actually really wanted to be there. So I didn't make a reservation for that. I do potentially have the ability to go in to see a lightsaber be built, thanks to one of our fantastic listeners. So hopefully we can work that out. That's supposedly something that I'm going to be able to do. So I'm really excited and anxious to see kind of how that process goes. Cause like I said before, like I was never going to build a lightsaber. So like the fact that somebody was generous enough to like allow me to be their plus one was super nice of them. Yeah, so I'm excited about that too. Some things that don't really excite me about the land are really the Disney Play app aspect of it. You know, I get what Disney's going for with it, but for me, like, I don't really want to have to like play this game inside the land just to be able to get some of those hidden secrets that are involved in the land. Now, for those people who are like all in on playing these games, like more power to you. Like, I don't do Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom either. And I don't do, you know, I don't do like things like the Wilderness Explorers, you know, those things just don't interest me. And this is something that's kind of like that to me. Like, you know, those, like I've done the Agent P World Showcase thing once, and I don't even think I finished it. Like, that's kind of, but that's me. So, you know, I don't really see, like, I don't know if I see that taking off as much as Disney hoped it would. Because I think a lot of people are kind of like me and they're like, well, do we really want to play the game? There's not really much of a game with it. So I don't know. But that's one thing that doesn't excite me about the land. But the rest of it is kind of cool.
I will say on that aspect, you know, I think Disney does those things well, those secondary things like Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom. And even, you know, like I said, the app and things like that. Because if you don't want to do it, and I'm kind of the same way, I don't play those games, that pirate game in Adventureland. Yeah. I don't do them. I should say I've done them enough just to be familiar with them. I've
with
done
what
like
it
a
is.
Round or
yeah.
two just
yeah,
to say
same,
I've done it.
Same.
Wait, you know, but the thing is, you know, the way Disney presents that is that for those people that are really into that stuff, it's very accessible and there's multiple layers to it. It's not like a one and done thing. They do a good job where you can go back and do it time and time again and get collector's things sometimes. But the thing is, like, I don't think it gets in the way of folks like us that don't want to do it. I think that, and that's a hard line to walk. I think Disney did a really good job with that, and it could have been tough.
No, absolutely. I think that they've done a really good job, 100%. But I feel like, you know, obviously they want that to be kind of like the wand experience in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And it's just not going to be, you know, the wand experience is something that's so special and so unique. And it really isn't. You really can't replicate that idea. So, you know, I like the fact that they have this game for people to play if they choose to. But I don't think that it's something that's necessary and in your enjoyment of the land. But then again, I also do wonder how, like, you know, if that does, if by playing the game, if that's going to be how they tie, I mean, everything in. You know, they did say that you would get
like credit, like a credit
system.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. That you would get credits and the they would interact with you differently. And I don't know if that's the only way that you would be able to do that. If that is, then that's kind of a bummer because, like, as someone, again, someone who doesn't really want to play that game, but still would enjoy, like, being in the land like that, that's kind of a bummer to me. I wish there was maybe a different way that they could go about it, but I get it.
I think it's kind of cool, though. I mean, if you do take the time to invest to get, like, a certain level, you know, some kind of, you know, Jedi level that you've done that for, you know, forever, and you've accumulated all these points. I mean, you get some kind of special recognition. I think that's kind of cool. But yeah, I don't want it to like be like that it's taking away from me because I don't play it. I just want to have a base level that everybody has a great experience. And then if you're some crazy Jedi on the data pad, boom. good.
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel about it.
That's, that's cool. Okay. Yeah. So, in Eric saying he's been there and he says that, you know, he doesn't want to give away any spoilers or anything, but he says that it is that is best done in line for the Falcon. He thinks, like, if you're going to do it in line for the Falcon. So that's good.
Interesting. Very good. Very good. So, and it'll be interesting to see, like you said, the characters and how they interact. You know, we do have we're so used to how characters interact at Walt Disney World. You know, in Disneyland, they get to be a little more free because, you know, people are kind of used to the characters. And Walt Disney World, you know, they get mobbed immediately. So it is going to be interesting to see how they handle that fact of are the characters going to get mobbed? You know, are people going to want to just constantly take selfies with them or, you know, whatever? And how that interaction works throughout the land, too, because, you know, we do see Rey and Chewbacca walking around at Disneyland, and I'll be curious to see how that happens at Walt Disney World once we start getting the full amount of people in there, you know, the full park guest experience going forward. So,
And one more thing on this, and then I want to talk about stuff outside of Galaxy's Edge.
Because
I'm into a lot of other things besides Galaxy's Edge right now. I'm excited for that. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, have been since 77. But I want to talk about some of the stuff today. The one thing I will say, though, about the character interactions, especially when it opened at Disneyland, that's really all we have to go for, you know, officially right now, is that I don't know. This is one of those things. This is a great show to kind of bring this up, is when I saw the stuff on social media, especially like Instagram stories and, you know, Twitter videos, like the interactions with Rey and Chewbacca and the First Order with like little kids.
Yeah.
It's almost like they thought about how to make a video really go viral, you know, with like the interactions. I don't know if it just happened and that we're in that society now that, you know, this could have happened 10 years ago. We just didn't have the videos. Everybody wasn't armed with a phone videotaping every interaction between a character and a guest, but you saw the little kids who sometimes were very scared of a First Order, you know, stormtrooper, and they'd run away, but they were, you know, they were curious, so they would come back, and there was like an interaction for like a minute where they warmed up to him, or Rey meeting somebody and just walking hand in hand through the land with a little girl dressed like Rey. I mean, those things are priceless. I mean, that's that viral marketing that Disney can't pay for, and that's worth $1 million, and it's awesome. But I wonder, like, this is how I think. Like, did Disney think about how to make those moments happen, or did they just happen organically? What do you think? A little of both, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, it's up to the cast member, too. The cast member playing the role, if they're really savvy, they're like, hey, man, I'm going to get a little play on this.
Right. Yeah, I absolutely think it's a little bit of both. You know, of course, I'm sure Disney thought about the fact that, hey, if we do this, if we offer these characters in this sort of way, it will definitely be a more of a option to go viral. You know, but then there's also still that there's still an organic piece to it. Because, I mean, look at all those videos that have gone viral, like with Gaston. You remember those videos?
Yeah, that's true.
Back
the push-ups and stuff. Yeah.
I mean,
that
wasn't something that, you know, Disney was looking for. And actually, I think in the future, like, once all those videos happened, I think that they kind of made Gaston, like, bring it back in a little bit because, like, then people started being like, well, do this. You know, how are you going to one-up it? You know? So I think there's a really fine line that they have to walk. You know, the same thing happened with that whole viral thing of the, you know, Andy's coming, you know, and you know, everybody would constantly. Yeah, exactly. Thank goodness that seems to have died down. Although I don't know, you know, if it's still like a thing and, you know, that, you know, I'm not going around yelling that, so I'm not entirely sure if that happens all the time anymore.
My brother-in-law's named Andy, and we kept yelling, you know, we just, because we were moving and he was helping us, you know, it's like, is Andy coming?
So, but I mean, I don't know if people then start to expect those kind of situations to happen, you know, and then Disney's like going to be like, yeah, we have to bring this in a little bit more, because we, you know, people are going to start, you know, doing things to try to have these magical moments happen, and they really just have to happen organically. I don't know what's going to happen with that. It'll be interesting to watch.
And that brings up a good point. This is kind of what I think it is. Like, those characters have a little bit more freedom in their environments, and they're able to move around and kind of improvise a little bit more than, say, you know, when you meet Elsa and she's in Princess Fairy Tale Hall. You know, she's boom right there, picture boom. You know, they sign an autograph and, hey, how are you? You know, and that's it. I think they get a little more freedom, which is, I think this is where the character interaction is going to move in the next decade.
I think they're a little more streamosphere-y in that regard. You know, they get to be a little more like streamosphere, except for this is an actual character instead of, you know, some, you know, random character that you meet on the street that you don't know their name, unless you are a big fan of like Hollywood Studios or, you know, Main Street USA, and you go and you want to talk to those, you know, interact with those characters that they have on those two sections. But this is a character that people actually get to see and they've seen in the movies and stuff like that. So it's just a plussed up version of Streetmosphere, in my opinion. Yep. So,
all right. So something I'm into outside of Galaxy's Edge here in the next little bit here at Walt Disney World. The space-themed restaurant at Epcot, you know, and it's not getting a ton of talk. You know, I think it will as we get closer. You know, we know that it's opening up rather soon. I think by the end of the year, right? Is that what I heard? It can't be. It's already almost September.
Yes, the end of the year. I don't know if they have a date, but I've definitely heard the end of the year.
So let's talk about this for a second. Again, it's speculation on the most part, but of course it is over by the Mission Space, you know, that side, the test track side of Epcot and Future World. And it's one of those things that, you know, as I think about the experience, of course, I'm a space nut, worked at space camp, have looked at the stars almost every night of my entire life. I dream about it. I always wanted to be an astronaut, even though I was scared to fly, kind of a weird thing. But, you know, I see this restaurant as, I see a lot of parallels between Walt Disney World and Cruise Line. And when you look at a restaurant like Animator's Palette, excuse me, on the Disney ships, the new ships, where it's very immersive. You don't have windows, but it's like crushes in your windows. Yeah. It's like he's like you're almost eating his in his aquarium or his sea. And he interacts with you through video screens and so forth. And it's well done with physical props throughout the building. But you also have video screens that present Crush and the other characters and they interact with you. And I think that maybe that is what is going to come to the space restaurant, because again, it's going to look like you're in space, which you can do with video screens, and you can have different levels of interaction. It's also kind of like the skyline bar on the ships where it changes, you know, you could see different skylines throughout the night. I think this is going to be a big hit. I just don't know, like, A, what's the food going to be like, and how formal is it going to be, and how expensive is it going to be? Like, is it going to be like super signature? Is it going to be, say, like a Crystal Palace that's not signature but expensive, or like an Ohana? I mean, I'm just wondering what the demand's going to be and what the experience is going to be. What do you think?
So it's run by the Patina Group, who run a large number of restaurants across the Walt Disney World Resort. And most of those resort restaurants are very casual. So I suspect that this will be, for the most part, another kind of casual dining experience. You know, I don't think it'll be super fancy. I don't think it'll be, you know, where you have to dress up to dine there or anything like that.
I mean, I have my flight suits from Space Camp, freshly pressed. I have like six of them. I'm ready. You'll
Royal be Blue. Perfectly in theme there, yes. But, you know, I think that it's just going to be another one of those casual type restaurants that they have, you know, across all of Walt Disney World with, you know, interesting food options, of course, because it's space themed. So it's definitely going to be things that I don't think we're used to in the usual way. But, you know, I think that overall, I think that overall it's going to be a great restaurant to go get to experience. So I'm really excited about it too. I think it's going to be awesome. And I think that the whole ability of seeing space, you know, I use that in quotes, but space from this restaurant, I do think it's going to be a lot like Disney Cruise Line. And I think it's going to be kind of what they're trying to do with the whole Star Wars, you know, hotel, is this is going to be a starting point for what they end up doing with that. So yeah, I'm excited about it too. I think it's going to be a really great restaurant.
I'm wondering though, like, well, I mean, and you bring up a lot of great points. I think it is going to parallel like what they've done with Cruise Line. And I think it's going to fit in perfectly with what Epcot needs up in Future World. They need something like this in Future World, a very, you know, a fun experience. Cause you got Garg Grill, you got Coral Reef. I mean, but, you know, and I like both, but I mean, it's not like anything that people are knocking the doors down to go to. But I wonder, like, is it a sleeper when it becomes available? Is this going to be the next Be Our Guest? I mean, it could be for like maybe the first 6 months. I don't know.
I think it'll depend on how the food is, to be perfectly honest. And I know Eric is asking, you know, will it be the food be secondary to the experience? Kind of like Rainforest and Dinosaur, or the T-Rex, I guess I should say. And knowing the restaurant group that's owning it, I don't think so. I think that the food will actually be really good. You know, T-Rex and Rainforest are owned by the same person, and their food's, you know, somewhat mediocre. So, you know, I think that they're really going to try to make the food exceptional here, just like the other restaurants that they have at Disney Springs and Epcot and everywhere in between. So, yeah.
So one other thing, we're going to throw this in because we're at Epcot and we're talking food, that, again, flying under the radar is the Regal Beagle back. No, just kidding. The Regal Eagle, I should say. Jack Tripper notwithstanding. No. We're going to have, you know.
Now you do have the brunette and the blonde. I mean, you know, with me.
That's true.
And,
that's true.
And, and you do kind of have that Jack Tripper mentality, I guess.
That's true. We could really pull it off pretty easily.
I think. I mean,
if any podcast could.
I mean, our Halloween costume.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like. That is kind of, I mean, if any podcast was set up to pull off the Regal Beagle, we just need like a Larry and we need the Ropers. And
I mean, we just need like a total 70s vibe.
And I'm
there.
All about that. I love the 70s.
Yeah.
So anyway, though, you know, I think that like we suffered. And I mean, I say suffered in air quotes, but with Liberty Tree Inn or Liberty Inn forever.
We didn't suffer,
but we just like, it was just like a void.
We didn't even eat there. Like, no. That's how much we suffered. Yes.
It was a void and it was huge. It was like, you know what? But I'll say my daughters ate there many, many times because they love chicken nuggets and that's all they eat. So that bailed them out of many a day. But I just think like, wow, you know, if they really do this well with a barbecue place in the American Adventure, right in the dead heart of Epcot, you know, the World Showcase and the smells that get associated with good barbecue that'll just waft around Epcot. But here's the, because we all know what Flame Tree smells like at over at Animal Kingdom. Oh, it just draws you in. It's like a cartoon. But the thing is, here's my dilemma. Oh, man.
I know.
I mean, it's a good dilemma. But like when I'm at Epcot, like it's almost like we talked on Wednesday that the guest had, you know, fast pass paralysis. I'm going to have like dining paralysis because you only get to eat X amount of meals. And it's like, oh, do I have barbecue or do I get to go have good Japanese food? Do I get to go have my Mexican? Do I go to, well, I'm not going to China. But I mean, you know, am I going to go over to the UK or, you know, what have you? You know, Chefs de France. I mean, you have so many good options. I guess it's always good to have another choice. But man, you know, when I smell barbecue, I'm just going to right back there to the Regal Beagle.
I am so excited. You're going to get so many people.
I know, whatever.
To be awful, but I think that it's gonna be a fantastic choice. I'm so excited about this, and I think the food is gonna be fantastic, or I hope it is, because well, it can't get any worse. So
it's like if you start at zero, you're gonna win.
Has to go up from where it was. So, you know, anything is better than what was served there before. But I'm really excited about this restaurant, and I think it's gonna be a great addition to World Showcase and Epcot in general. And you're right, though, it's so hard to choose now. Where are you going to eat, especially like during Food and Wine or you know, any of those festivals? Because not only do you have all the food booths, but then you have all the restaurants, and then you have the Regal Beagle. So we're just going to keep calling it the Regal Beagle.
That's it. It's going to be that on the show. Just like I call the pool at Pop Century the Hippity Dippity Pool. So there you go. That's how it is. All right. So one other thing, though. And I'm just curious because, again, I'm from the Midwest and like we eat barbecue in St. Louis constantly. I mean, it's just like, you know, bandanas or what have you. You know, super smokers, don't matter. Where's your barbecue joint of choice in St. Louis, by the way?
Oh, so it was Bandanas, but I ate there the last time and I was not impressed.
That's cheap,
so
though.
Bad.
It's not
but
bad.
I really do like Bandanas. But
what's the place that's out in St. Charles that used to be Chuck a Burger? It's like all over the place now. It's the new place. Sugar Fire. That's the place everybody loves. Oh, not even barbecue.
I haven't been there yet.
Yes. Okay. So anyway, here's the other thing I'm wondering about that. Well, because I mean, like, you know, they say when in Rome that you have the experience of where you are. Is this going to be a gigantic place like with international guests? Like if you're from Japan or the UK or, you know, what have you, Australia, and you come, it's a requirement. You must go eat at the Regal Eagle because you got to have some barbecue. I mean, I say yes, you must, but that's me.
I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of people from the United States.
I think so, too. I need it. I haven't had it. Yeah, 48 hours. Yeah. Give me a rib.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's what you're going to see more than people from Japan or the UK or, you know, China. I think you're going to see Americans. Yes!
America. All right. So those two things I'm really into coming up shortly. So what else are you into, Ricky? What are you looking forward to?
So I am really looking forward to trying. I'm trying to figure it out. I really like some of the changes that I'm seeing happening with Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party this year. You know, it kicks off tonight. What? Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. It's 107 as I'm sitting here in St. Louis.
It's not Halloween. I get it. A lot of people are like, I want to celebrate Halloween. I'm not going to be there for Halloween.
Rookie, Ray, do you remember that time I almost died when I dressed up like Captain EO in the full garb? Yes, I was within an inch of being dead. We had never had the podcast going this long.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is it's too hot to be dressed up in costume in August. It's August. I'm telling you, that's too soon. Look, I get it if you want to maybe do it the last weekend of August, that you get all the people who want to celebrate, you know, Labor Day and whatever, but August 16th is too soon to be celebrating Halloween. Just plain and simple. But with all that being said, I am very excited about some of the changes that I've seen. They're adding some new additions to the parade, which, okay, let's just be honest, the Buzz Lightyear float was the Jack Sparrow float that they're just repurposing.
What's the deal with that stupid chicken, too? Why can't they get rid of the dumb chicken? I love that parade, but that stupid chicken. That's so annoying. Like, seriously, we don't need a chicken in that parade. No. But Buzz can take that place.
Okay, first of all, you hush. Second of all, you have to understand, like, that chicken... I remember watching the Easter Day Parade as a kid, and they always had the chicken in the Easter Day Parade. That exact float was from the Easter Day Parade back in the day. They can't get rid of the chicken.
Yes, like, they can.
Keep the chicken. I love the chicken. Don't take the chicken out. Plus, it represents Frontierland, so keep the chicken. Thank you. Love, Ricky. So the Buzz Lightyear float's just a repurposed Jack Sparrow float, so clearly Jack's not going to be in the parade this year. They've added these, like... you know, basically segues for Buzz Lightyear, or not Buzz Lightyear, for Mr. and Mrs. Incredible. So
that's awesome. Okay.
That's awesome. Yes. I mean, it's not a huge change for the parade, let's just be honest, but at least they've added something to the parade. What I am most excited about, though, is the fireworks show. I think it's now. Don't get me wrong. I loved Happy Hallowishes.
Yes.
Like, Happy Hallowishes was so awesome. And it is going to be so hard to top Happy Hallowishes. Like, trust me, that was my favorite fireworks show that Disney did.
With, like, the doorbell ding dong.
Exactly.
Who, like, is it, Cruella de Vil?
I'm super upset that they got rid of it. But I digress. I know that it's not coming back. I know there's nothing I can do to get it to come back. I have the videos. I can at least watch the videos.
And we have the music. That's how you got to look at it. We have the soundtracks.
We have the videos. That's good. So with that being said, I'm excited to see the new fireworks show. And if you've seen the previews that they've done, now I don't know how Jack Skellington and Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, and Donald are going to be meshed together, but somehow that's going to work. That's okay. But then have you seen the video of Jack Skellington? Like, that is awesome. And I don't know if it's that. So a while ago, they had like a patent come out, and it had to do with like drones and stuff like that. And it was of Jack Skellington. So I don't know if it's like that, or if it's something completely different, or because I know it's not a puppet, and I know it's not production. So something tells me it might be the drones or something along those lines. But that Jack Skellington is, like, for real awesome. So I can't wait to see that in person. It's going to be so cool. And I've got to figure out how to get there. I have a trip planned for the end of September. And originally, I wanted to do Halloween Horror Nights on the Friday instead of the Saturday. But I think I'm going to have to just bite the bullet and do Halloween Horror Nights on a Saturday, which is awful because it's so crowded. But in order to get to see Mickey's Not So Scary, I have to go on a Friday because they don't offer it on, on Saturday. So that's my disappointment, but nobody else's. So
Hashtag first world Disney problems.
Hashtag first world Disney problems. Exactly.
So let me ask you this. It's funny that you bring up drones, because that was one of the things I wanted to bring up, because I was thinking about this the other day that I was like, I think it was Sunday. I was watching TV and, you know, scrolling through Twitter as you do on a Sunday afternoon, not much on, football starts in a couple weeks. Thank SEC football. I can't wait till Saturdays. Anyway, so this person tweets that I follow. His name's Ant Pruitt. He's a new member over in the Twit Network for technology. Anyway, he posts that there's like drone league racing on one of the channels. And so, like, you can watch these drones race and so forth. It's a big thing. But the thing is, I got to thinking, like, I got to go down and see that preview, and a lot of folks saw it at Disney Springs with the drones. It wasn't last Christmas. It was two Christmases ago.
Longer than that.
Was it three? It wasn't last Christmas. It was at least a couple of years ago.
Christmases ago, at least. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, that was like the most amazing thing I had seen. Like, you know, there's a few things I've seen at Disney that is like jaw dropping. And this was one of those things that I seriously could not believe it. Like, I was almost rubbing my eyes because they were making these different formations silently in the sky. It was a dove. It was a, you know, it was a, I don't know. There was like stars. There was like a, you know, it was so amazing. Like, I literally said fireworks are going to be extinct. Like, these are going to take the place of fireworks because you can reuse them. They're infinite. You can program them to do this. They took off. They disappeared. They were there. Like, boom. Like, you haven't heard a thing about these things in a couple of years. Like, and I mean, I like, it's like the technology to me was so close. I know they probably had to make the batteries last longer. They had to, you know, probably refine the software. But, like, they presented a working show with music, worked in the sky. It was amazing for like 10 minutes. I can't believe we still don't have something like this. I mean, I can't believe we don't have it yet.
I honestly think it's about legal, to be perfectly honest. I mean, they were drones and they were, you know, they have to figure out a way to get them to fly over, you know, over, they can't get them to fly over crowds because if one accidentally drops and falls on a guest, I mean, that's a big problem. True. So, you know, that's why they were supposed to have drones in the replacement for Illuminations, and they just couldn't figure out how to get it to work. Now, maybe they have, you know, for the future show that they're building, not Epcot Forever, but the next one, I don't know. But for now, I mean, it's all based off of, you know, the fact that legal issues, you know, you got big problems. So that's what makes me wonder, like, is this a drone? Is this some sort of drone technology that they're using for the Jack Skellington? And part of me thinks it is, just based off of what that was. I definitely saw like some sort of patent that they had filed. So, and it was definitely Jack Skellington. So is it part of the patent? Have they figured out a way to get maybe, you know, cause Jack isn't maybe flying over the crowd. He's maybe just on the castle stage. So maybe that's okay. You know, they set the drones out and then they release them up and then they put them back down. Like, that may be okay. So that may be what we see. I don't know. And again, I don't know if it is drones that they're using for that Jack Skellington thing. But gosh, based off that patent that I saw, it looks super familiar. You know what I'm saying?
So
like,
cool.
It looks just like it. I could be dead wrong. But oh my gosh, that looks really similar to what I saw, that patent.
So, yeah, that's something at Disney Springs. It was just amazing. Like, I told everybody for months. Like,
yeah.
And I was showing that video. Like, because I took a video then. I was like, you got to see this. Like, that is not fireworks. Those are drones in the sky. Like, those are just little robots that are flying around. You know, it's so cool. Anyway, one other thing I want to bring up, but I just love having you here because you're plugged in. You know, like, the details. I just know, like, the big picture on things like this. The new buses that Disney has been debuting over the past week or so, past couple of weeks, you know, with the big characters on the side, bright colors. You know, like a Pluto or, I'm assuming they'll have like the Fab Five out there on these buses. Apparently, though, they're supposed to. What's that?
By the way.
Say it again.
Sensational Six.
Sensational Six.
Yes.
Who's the sixth?
Daisy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Add Daisy in there. Now they're the Sensational Six.
No, I know. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, these buses, though, apparently are like next gen, prototype buses. They're, you know, going to roll out a few, try them out, probably just survey guests time and time again, as Disney does before they go further with things. But apparently these are going to have like USB ports and Wi-Fi and stuff like that. So I thought about that and I'm like, that's cool, but necessary. Like, do we have to be, I mean, I know my Disney experience, good Lord, help us. But do we have to be, I mean, I know people want to get a little juice, but I mean, like, I've been on those buses when you're, you know, 228 people and then you're, you know, holding onto the bar. Like, they're not always going to be like that. Do we necessary? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, necessary, probably not. But I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is people do want to be plugged in, you know, do connect to the Wi-Fi, or not your Wi-Fi, but the USB charging ports. I mean, if you're sitting there for, you know, 20 minutes while you're riding in a bus and, you know, you got your cord. Oh, do I use my charger or do I use this charger that's here under my seat? I might as well use that. Now, my question is, what's going to start happening when all of them start breaking?
Yes, because I mean, the people are going to be just tearing those things up quick. I would imagine, and not intentionally, just wear and tear.
Exactly. So, I mean, are they going to be replacing them constantly, or are we just going to have broken, you know, USB ports all the time? Because I've definitely been to the airport where they have lots of USB ports available for guests, and I've definitely come across a fair few that have been broken when I've sat in them, you know? So, I'm just curious to see how that's going to work, of when they're going to fix them, how often they're going to fix them, or are we just going to have broken... Ooh, look, it's supposed to work, but it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the worst. Like, when you see something that's kind of cool, but it doesn't work, and you don't have the opportunity to use it, that's even worse than not even having it at all.
Yeah.
I will say, here's what, you know, with that, I'm excited to see that Disney's trying these things. That's what they need to do. They've always been, back to Walt Disney, an innovation company. You know, they try new things. I think that Disney should very, very soon have some autonomous type of transportation, whether it's just getting cast members like to their positions from the parking lot. You know, it's a great place because they control the roads, and they have an opportunity that most companies and most cities do not have. Municipalities, you know, they can write basically their own laws and you know, have very strict controls over things. And I, you know, they could be doing this, who knows? But I mean, I'm glad they're trying these new buses. I don't think it's necessary, like George says. How far, if you're using like the USB things like at the airport, they don't put out a ton of juice. Like, you're going to get more juice out of your portable battery pack. You know, like those.
No, but at least I don't have to use my portable battery pack. Or if I forgot it or whatever, you know, at least I have a way to charge. And as far as autonomous cars go, you know, someone who kind of knows a little bit about the automotive industry, I don't know that we're quite there yet. So I think it's, at first I thought we were going to see them a lot sooner than we are. But I just think that the technology isn't quite where it needs to be to start putting them really on the roads. So I'd like to see some more testing happen before we start, like, maybe rolling them out in a place like Walt Disney World. I think eventually we'll get there. It's just I don't think we're quite where we need to be right now.
You think we'll see EV buses first? I mean, I'd imagine. I mean, I know they're on biodiesel, a lot of them, you know, the different alternative fuels. I mean, next step would be like an EV bus. I guess it needs a lot of power.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
You'd probably charge them all the time.
Yeah, how easy it would be for them to have, like, you know, charging buses that have to charge that way. You know, it's that the EV stuff is not as prevalent yet as I think that we all thought it would be, just quite in this time, day and age. But it's getting there. It's just, you know, like I said, I don't see it. I don't see it as much as I thought we would. So, and like I said, I know a little bit about automotive. So
Ricky's middle name is Porsche.
Definitely not.
Okay. All right, so we're about out of time. So what's one more thing you're into? I've kind of hogged the conversation today, but I just, like, you know, I wonder about these things when I'm running and when I'm just sitting around the house. You know, like, that's why I love Disney, because it could be, you know, there's transportation issues, there's restaurant things, there's hotels, there's theme parks, there's, you know, the cruise line. There's an infinite things that Disney's got their hands in. And I just wonder, like, what's the future hold? Or, you know, have they forgotten about this certain thing? You know, why haven't we seen it again? So what's one more thing for you?
All right, so I know it sounds really cheesy, and I know it sounds really, really odd. And to anybody else, like, I feel like women will appreciate this maybe more than men. But I went into the bathroom in Tomorrowland a couple of trips ago.
Is this going to be a TMI story? Okay, it is. Go ahead.
I promise it's not a TMI story. But I went into the bathroom a couple of trips ago, and it was just, again, it's something small. It's not huge. It's not like one of the biggest things in the world, but it makes a huge difference, especially for women who, when you go in the bathroom, you can't tell whether a stall is taken or not taken. So you kind of do that little weird peeky underneath, but you don't want to peek too much because, like, you don't want to be the creeper.
Why are you checking out my feet?
Exactly. So, like, you're trying to peek underneath and see if maybe there's one stall that's open or whatever. Well, in the Tomorrowland bathrooms, they have fixed this problem. And it is these little bitty like contraptions that they put on the top of all of the bathrooms stalls in there. And they say they're green if they're vacant, or they're red if they're used.
It's like a porta potty.
It's like a porta potty, or it's like the
Disney Springs parking garage.
It's like Disney Springs parking. That's exactly where I was going. Now, I'd like to see them get a little more high tech than the, you know, what it feels like a porta potty, like, you know, latch thing. But, you know, if they could do, like, you know, a light or something, I don't know, you know, above the stall, that would be great.
Or outside, they say there's three stalls empty right now.
Exactly. Or, you know, a light on the actual, like, stall or whatever. But, like, because, I mean, yeah, that felt a little, it did feel a little hokey. But the fact of the matter was they were trying. And as a female who often runs into the problem of, is this bathroom available or not, I very much appreciated the fact that I could easily see which restroom was available and which one that I could go into. Again, it's not a big deal, and I wish more places would do this. I wish every bathroom would put in some sort of notification of, hey, this bathroom is available or not. But the fact that they attempted to try to do that in Tomorrowland, you know, it's the bathroom of the future, and I approve.
They could also get together with those folks who do the LaundryView app that Pam talks about and that I use every trip. I'm not kidding. This is the greatest app ever. It's great for back to school, too. If you're going to college, they're on all the college campuses. It's called LaundryView. And if you're doing any of your laundry at the resorts, it'll tell you which laundry machines are open, and it'll give you a notification when your laundry is done. Now, I don't know if I want a notification when you are done in your bathroom, but it could tell you that there's this many stalls open in, you know, Fantasyland. That's important information.
Yes. So, I mean, but I feel like that would be a big help to people, you know, of because, you know, you got moms who are looking to get into the restroom with a kid who really has to go, and, you know, they can't tell whether, you know, the stall is taken, or dads the same way. You know, dads could have that problem. I'm not saying moms are the only ones that have that problem, but, you know, I'm just saying it would be really nice if more bathrooms had this ability. And I applaud Disney for starting the process, and hopefully they will continue to do it and maybe do it in a way that's maybe not quite as porta potty feeling, maybe a little fancier than it was. But,
red or green. And George has the comment of the day. Sounds like a future live show with Wedway. Is this stall occupied or not?
I like it.
Take your chances. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. We hope you enjoyed kind of some fun, you know, just random Disney topics, things that we think about. Exactly. Well, potty talk, get ready for the weekend and so forth. But, you know, these kind of things that pop in our heads. We want to hear what you have to say. You know, what are you excited about? What are you into right now at Walt Disney World? We will put this topic on the Facebook page for the weekend. So drop by facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast and give us some feedback there. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by friends at the Magic for Less Travel. So when you're ready to head to a Disney destination, you can really, really help support the Be Our Guest podcast by booking with the Magic for Less. Drop by the website, themagicforless.com. Check out all the great specials going on down at Walt Disney World for the end of 2019. Still time to put a Christmas trip under the tree. And also, you've got all of 2020 moving forward. Lots happening there. Just, it's a great time cruising out to Disneyland, even Adventures by Disney. Check them out, support the show, use a travel agent, and support the podcast. It's magicforless.com, and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. And now, as you're doing that shopping this weekend, use our Amazon affiliate link. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Pod and at Be Our Guest Mike. And again, drop by the Facebook page as well. All right, it's time to get out of here and let you get on with your weekend. Thank you so much for your support. Please, if you don't mind, an iTunes review or a Stitcher review and rating, we'd appreciate that so very much. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.